Mere conservatism.
And then there were three.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there was a little bit of a caucus.
Yeah, a little bit.
Before
you go any further, I got to tell you, I believe in voting. I think that's important. David, I don't know that I would have got out in that stuff and voted in Iowa. I'm just telling you.
It was pretty intense. Yeah, intense. From what I understand, it was some of the worst winter weather they've ever had.
I mean to tell you. I'm sorry. I admire those who did. You know, good for them.
Yep.
And they do represent something. This is really an important election. I'm glad they wanted to have their say in it. David Perry and I'm Cleve Walker, and this is Mere Conservatism. Woo!
It's cold in Georgia, too. It's not quite like that, and like it is in Iowa, but it's cold here.
There are people in Iowa and in the Northeast who are laughing.
The high today was like 45. It's freezing.
Yeah. It's getting way down to low 20s. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's so much takeaway from the caucus in Iowa.
I can't wait to get your takeaways.
And I have so many thoughts on it.
Before you get to the takeaways as far as it means for the three who now remain, were you surprised that Vivek decided to call it quits?
I was a little surprised that Vivek got out. But I think that it's a good move. Mm-hmm. And I think I appreciate him doing the thing where he sees he can't win, which, you know, frankly, he probably could have seen that a few months ago, but at least he waited until somebody voted. You know, a lot of people wanted to say, let's just skip the primaries. Yeah. And I don't believe in that. I mean, I don't think it was ever right to suggest that we don't have any primaries and just anoint Trump the winner. Now, he would have gotten that had he been the incumbent legitimately, but a lot of people wanted to act like he was and just anoint him. And I don't think that was the right thing to do. And I think Vivek did the right thing by at least waiting until some election had happened, some process had happened and shown the fact that there's just,
all right,
it's just
now,
not going to happen.
You're not surprised he dropped out, but are you surprised he turned right around and so quickly endorsed Trump?
No, I'm not surprised about that either. Look, Vivek has always been a Trump guy.
He was one of the few that refused to criticize or say anything critical about him the whole time. But Trump had started to turn on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, why would you do that? You know, this guy's in your corner. But that's Trump. But he's out. He's endorsing Trump. And I think you're going to see him on the campaign trail. I guess what I'm trying to say is he's not done being out there and talking.
Well, Vivek is a good guy to have on your side, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very well spoken, smart. I mean, goodness gracious, he's smart. I think that I had some qualms with what he did in the campaign. I think a lot of times the way he behaved was very clickbaity.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think even that was calculated by him. He's smart enough to know that he had to do things like that in order to get any attention,
right,
which is be clickbaity and say things that were really beyond the pale, things that were really wrong and not true. And he did that at times, but he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say that to say he's very skilled, very smart. He's a good guy to have in your corner. And yeah, I could definitely see him being part of the Trump campaign and the Trump cabinet.
Right. So he has a great future one way or the other. I never heard of him before, but now he's out there, and now that he's definitely endorsed Trump.
And you still can't pronounce his name.
Vivek Ramaswamy?
No.
Vivek, rather.
No, that's incorrect.
It's Vivek, though, not Vivek.
It is Vivek. Yeah, that's right. But it's not. But it's not Vivek.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
He's a good guy. I'm sorry. Anyway, long story short, so we're past that now. For you, anyway, David, what is your main takeaway from the results of the Iowa caucus?
Well, I don't know. So my main takeaway, that's a little bit difficult to pin down.
Okay.
So there's two things that I will say, maybe three, and one of them has to do with Ron DeSantis, who's my favorite.
Uh-oh.
And Ron DeSantis, I sincerely believe to this day that Ron DeSantis is a generational political talent.
Mm-hmm.
He is the best Republican I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
He would be the best president of everybody in the field. He would be great. his, I said many times here on this program, he had to win Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
I even predicted that he would win Iowa. And boy, was I wrong. So he lost Iowa by like 30 points.
Yeah.
And so there's two devastating things for Ron DeSantis in the results of Iowa. Two devastating things. One of them is that he didn't win. Well, let's say three things. One is that he didn't win. Mm-hmm. He didn't place first. The second thing that's devastating for him is that it wasn't even close. It's not like it was a close second. He lost by 30 points.
Yeah, it was pretty
in Iowa.
Definitive.
So he's a distant second. Mm-hmm. And the third thing, Cleve, that is really bad and devastating for Ron DeSantis in this race is that he only finished 2 points ahead of Nikki Haley.
That's true.
That's, to me, that's just as bad as losing by 30 points to Trump is only beating Nikki Haley by 2 points.
And why now, is that?
Because that shows that it's not a two-person race. We had been saying that it's DeSantis and Trump. Mm. It's clearly not. It's DeSantis, it's Trump, and then it's everybody else, mm-hmm. clearly. Mm-hmm. And credit to Nikki Haley. She has made quite a run, and I have my qualms with her. But credit to her of getting almost 20% of the vote in Iowa when that's what Ron DeSantis was able to do too. So, I mean, they nearly tied in that race. And so I actually think that that's just as bad for DeSantis mm-hmm. as it is as is losing to Trump by 30. It's really too bad because this is coming from somebody who is a huge Ron DeSantis fan. He's the man. He is better than Trump. That is my sincere belief. But the voters in Iowa don't think so, apparently.
I'm going to say this. This is going to sound strange, okay, because I personally would have endorsed Trump a long time ago if I were in the race. Okay, I think that's right to do. I believe that Governor DeSantis, his time is still yet to come. He's not old, not by the political measurement thing. He's a young man. I do believe that he could still be, not in this cycle, but he could still be a president, a two-term president. I really believe that his star is not gone just yet.
You don't think that he ruined his political
not
career
yet.
Here?
Not yet. I think if he stays in too much longer, I think it hurts. I think at some point he's going to acknowledge that for whatever reason, okay, that right now there's no overtaking Donald Trump, and he's going to have to come down on a side here.
Yeah. Well, if he goes, my thinking is that if he stays in through the Florida primary and he gets beat by 30 points in Florida,
yeah.
then he probably really hurts himself.
That's what he hurts himself politically. Now, one more thing I'll say about DeSantis is this, and I was kind of surprised by this. I actually agree with you that he would make a better president. Unfortunately, he was not a strong candidate. As I got a chance to watch him more, he had trouble balancing being a political wonk and being the strong leader that I believe he is. He was coming across sometime as looking like, I've got to say the right thing. I've got to make sure I say the right points. I've got to look this way. I think one of the worst scenes was when he was in the debate and they asked everybody to raise their hands up, you know, this kind of stuff. Well, I thought that was stupid, but
he looked both ways.
All right.
Yeah.
And that was the feel from that point forward. You got him. He was hedging his bets. He was not freely being who he was. And it made him seem less authentic than I think he is.
Yeah,
I think that was part of the problem, the people advising him. So for me, his candidacy was not as strong as it could have been.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a guy that you want running the government, not a guy you want running a game show.
Right.
What Trump is. He's a guy you want running the game show.
But that's a good point.
And so, and that does, unfortunately, make a big difference when you are performing.
Trump swallows up all the oxygen wherever he is, mm-hmm. wherever he goes. And that works for him. And you and I have said this before. You can't do that. But he's the only one who can do that. Nobody else can be Trump but Trump.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is totally unconventional. That's not anything I'd want to advise a candidate to do, but he does it because it's him. And in his case, it works because it at least makes him seem authentic.
Yeah.
It does not make him seem
isn't it too bad, though, that we never saw DeSantis and Trump go toe-to-toe on a debate stage?
I think that was very wise of Trump.
It was wise of Trump. But see, DeSantis, it's not his fault. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that he is a victim of circumstance here.
Yeah. I don't think it's his time. That's all.
Yeah. And look, we saw him debate mm-hmm. Gavin Newsom and destroy him. Mm-hmm. We saw him debate Nikki Haley and destroy him.
Her. Right.
We saw him really perform very well in the debates. He didn't necessarily run away with all of them, but he is so competent, Cleve. Mm-hmm. He's just good.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have the flair, the showman flair that Donald Trump has. And look, that's not what I'm looking for.
No, right.
But some people want that, and that appeals to them, and that, you know, that's their
call.
Well,
again, I just think Trump, even though you could say he's a politician now because he's been a one-term president and all that kind of stuff, he still comes across like somebody who's not an insider, even though he could be considered the ultimate insider in some ways.
Yeah.
And I think people still respond to that. And like I said, that's not DeSantis' fault. It's not his time. And the Democrats' efforts to destroy Trump actually helped him and continues to help him. Everything mm-hmm. they do only makes those backing Trump stronger and more exuberant. And even people who are not in his corner are now beginning to see, hey, this stuff here really looks, you know, I'm saying what the Democrats are doing.
Yeah.
It really looks, you know, they can't count on this. And they end up siding with Trump. Trump becomes a victim.
Well, in 4 years, when it's time for another presidential race, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Ron DeSantis. Because you could be right, or maybe this was his moment, and it just is not meant to be ever for him to be president. Although, you know, he's got 2 more years to be governor of Florida, and then 2 years of who knows what, and people might forget what a great governor of Florida he was.
Yeah, that'll be up to him. I just think what he did. Matter of fact, it was when he was just doing the Florida governing thing that to me, he had his best moments, mm-hmm. facing down Disney and doing other things like that. It was his gubernatorial leadership that made him shine. And then he tried to switch gears and go national. And I just don't think it was the time. Now,
so,
go ahead.
So I had other takeaways that I wanted to share with you.
Right,
one is that Trump is obviously going to win the nomination at mm-hmm. this point. Winning Iowa.
Which I told you about.
Yes, winning Iowa. Just kind of put that to bed. I mean, he was always the odds-on favorite. I thought he would lose Iowa.
I remember you saying
that. And then it would get interesting. But if he wins Iowa, which he did, I mean, what's left to say?
Right.
It's hard to see anything at this point other than a clean sweep of pretty much everything else. Polls say, before I get there, let me say my third big takeaway.
Okay.
This is huge, actually. The polls were basically spot on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be the biggest takeaway, because one question I've had for really a year is, how accurate are these polls?
I remember you saying that.
Can we trust them?
Mm-hmm.
Are they a psyop? Are they trying to tell us what they want us to do?
Are they being manipulative?
Are they being manipulative?
Yeah.
Or is this really accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like they were pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And so if they're accurate, Trump is going to sweep the primary and he's going to win the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big takeaway for me, because if the polls are accurate, then okay, all of a sudden
I'm going to make a point here, because I think even the Democrats agree with you. I used to think that they were just playing psychology and attacking and harassing Trump because they were literally wanting him to be the nominee again, just like they wanted to the last time he was the nominee. Of course, we know how that worked out. But I really think they're afraid that if he runs, that he is going to win. I really believe the Democrats want to try to get him out of this race. And that was not my first takeaway from it. I said, no, they're just kind of trying to tag him to make him a damaged candidate, and so that Biden or whoever will have a weaker opponent. I believe they don't want him run.
Well, I think there's definitely some Democrats panicking.
Yes, you can feel it in the air. I mean, I hear it in the media, in the mainstream media. They're saying, you know, this guy, I mean, our guy, this is why, and I still not have given up on this. I told you I don't believe that Biden will be the nominee, okay? And you're telling me that he, of course, everybody else saying no, well, he's still there. The reason that he's not going to be the nominee, David, is I'm telling you, it's coming. I see it right now. He is simply not going to be able to. And it's becoming more and more obvious. Now, the only thing that might save his bacon is if he's a nominee and they prop him up like they did last time, that he'll say, how can I debate an insurrectionist?
Oh, he'll never debate Trump. That's
exactly. So my point is, if he can get an excuse never to have to sit across from this guy or talk to him, because after all, what he did as an insurrectionist, okay, that might buy him some time.
You know what, though?
What?
This is what's so funny, is that I actually think no debates helps Trump, too.
Okay.
Because
he's not the best debater, in my opinion.
Well, and it's not that. Mm-hmm. It's that he makes people uncomfortable, Cleve. Mm-hmm. And the benefit that Trump has running against Joe Biden this time is that Joe Biden is president this time, mm-hmm. which means all Trump has to do is point. Mm-hmm. In fact, the less people think about Trump, the better. Because Joe Biden is a terrible president.
I agree with you.
And so
I know what you're saying.
In other words, yeah. a debate puts a lot of focus on Donald Trump. And while Donald Trump loves that, I actually don't think that's the best way for him to win this election. The best way for him to win this election is for people to be focusing on Joe Biden, which people are going to automatically do if he's president right now.
And Trump, it's very difficult for him not to want the onus, everything to be upon him. I agree with you. If the candidate, whether it was Trump or whoever it was, their best bet is always to make it about Biden, because this guy has the lowest historic approval rating of any president. I mean,
he's bad.
You got to keep that. You got to keep pointing to that.
This is the campaign. If you break it down, okay. This is the campaign. Trump's message is going to be Joe Biden is a bad president. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's message is going to be Trump is a fascist.
Right.
That's the campaign. That's it. So which one of those two things is more believable? I think it's obvious. Everybody knows that Joe Biden is a bad president. That one is much more believable than thinking that the guy who was already president for 4 years, who, by the way, the country was pretty good under that presidency.
Right.
Everything was much, much better while he was president. You're going to convince people that that guy is actually a fascist? I just don't think you're going to get there.
And the reason I agree with you is because they tried to play it out. The media tried to do their part of gaslighting like they did from last time. For example, they came up with this Bidenomics thing, mm-hmm. and they were going to run with that. And the more they talked about Bidenomics, I'm talking about them.
Yes.
The worse it was.
The worse it was.
And it made them sound tone deaf and total idiots when they were trying to say, you know, wages are high. Wages are high. Yeah. But inflation has already negated any wage gains that mm-hmm. you got. And people are feeling that. So my point is, you're right. 100% right. Right now, Biden is the best argument against his presidency. And not just Trump, I think all of the GOP needs to be just constantly hammering on him. And I still bring up Kamala because I think bringing her up again, this is listen, and I meant to ask you about this too. We're seeing two things here. Not only is this a corrupt administration, but this is a stupid administration.
They're just not, yeah.
When your Secretary of Defense does not even communicate to you, the commander in chief, hey, I'm in hospital for a few days.
That was bad.
But it was a symbol, David. It was a symbol.
Typical.
Of the circus that we have in Washington. These people are not only corrupt and evil, but
incompetent.
They are inept, incompetent, stupid, naive, and have no discipline. I mean, can you imagine if that had happened with either a Reagan in office or even Trump, where your Secretary of Defense neglects to tell you?
He'd be gone.
Yes. Same thing with the fact that you got White House staffers now, at least at the time of this production, this podcast, planning to protest, not go to work, to protest against the White House. This is what, again, they created this atmosphere. The progressives and the liberals. It's a circus atmosphere. The very same thing they were saying would happen if Trump was elected.
Yeah, it's
they
bad.
They have created it.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's interesting to think back about people talking about wanting decency.
Yes.
Back in the White House and having the adults back. And we've seen what's happened since then with the debauchery, with the cocaine in the White House and,
yes.
and lewd acts going on in the Senate chambers. And this Biden being incontinent, it's really been bad. And, yes. and again, this is going to be a good argument for Donald Trump. It's just a point.
And not just him again. And not just him again. All of those who are campaigning, even those who are campaigning for different offices, need to say, this is the head of the Democrat Party. This is the face of the Democrat Party. So, I mean, they need to use him to smear that whole party with the foolishness and the stuff that's going on because it's awful and it's dangerous. Now,
yes.
What about the we're now in foreign entanglements and possible wars going on? And another thing they accused Trump of, saying if he gets in, all hell is going to break loose.
Yeah, we had none of that.
But we have it now. I mean, literally, we have a lot of
it. We're going to have a lot more of it this year, because especially if the polls continue to trend towards Trump, a lot of the people, a lot of foreign actors are going to look at that and say, we better move now.
We got a small window. You and I are simpatico, because this is, to me, I hate to say it, one of the things I'm thinking about is Taiwan. Must be shaking in their boots, because again, the window is getting, if China and Russia and Iran and North Korea believe they only have a short time with this puppet that we call President Biden in the White House, that Trump might be getting back in there, it means we got to do what we're going to do.
Yes.
And that is kind of, I hate to say it, that's kind of scary.
It is. And so I have been telling people, I'm really a ray of sunshine. When I tell people, it's going to be a rough year.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's going to be a very rough year domestically with the economy and with political violence, unfortunately. And I think it's going to be a rough year on the international front with what Iran is doing and Hezbollah and all those terrorist states that are mobilizing against Israel and with China and Taiwan. Not to mention the war in Ukraine, which is still raging. So I hate to say it. It's going to be a rough year.
It is. I would say batten down the hatches and prepare ourselves. Here's the saving grace behind though everything that's happening. Finally, a good portion, and not as many as I want to, David, but a good portion of the populace is seeing for themselves what progressivism produces. I mean, we could tell them all day long what would happen if you had these policies in place. Now they're seeing prices sky high. Now they're seeing the property values go down. Now they're seeing their savings just disappearing. Now they're seeing, what happens when you don't have a border. I mean, we talked about this for the longest.
Yeah, the border is a huge issue.
Now they're seeing it.
A lot of people, Cleve, are fine with it as long as there's diversity.
but a lot of the voters now are saying,
the majority are realizing that this is bad. This is a bad deal. It's a bad setup, bad way to do things. Hopefully that works out. And the polls, again, I don't really like citing the polls. I have always doubted
But they were right
the veracity of the polls, but they were right in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they're right now, if the national, I shouldn't say national, if the state-by-state polls are correct with a head-to-head matchup between Trump and Joe Biden, it is a massive victory for Donald Trump, because it means he's winning Arizona and Georgia and Michigan and Nevada, and he is going to dominate.
Yeah, and here's the beautiful thing about it. The beautiful thing about it is, again, it's not so much even what Trump is doing or saying. It's that people are seeing it for themselves. Okay, I'm serious. They've been doing on the street interviews with folks, minorities and others, and many of them who admitted they voted for Biden, and they said, "We can't take another 4 years of this." I mean, and these are not Republicans or conservatives. These are people saying, "This is nuts. We cannot take any more of this."
So if it's not Joe Biden, if they don't feel like they can run him, or he can't answer the bell, who's it going to be?
Gavin Newsom.
Really?
Yes.
You think he'll do much better?
No. I'm just saying they'll have to have somebody, and they're going to have him. Okay. Again, this is the guy who entertained Xi, head of China, at looking as presidential as he could after he cleaned up all the slime and stuff out of San Francisco, and he's still maintaining a high profile. They don't have anybody else. Okay, so he'll step in. Because
I wonder how good Gavin Newsom would do with the Democrats' most important voter bloc, Black Americans.
That's a good question.
I really do wonder how he comes off to Black Americans. Yeah. Because Joe Biden, I feel like, got quite a boost being Barack Obama's vice president. And he got a big endorsement in South Carolina from Clyburn.
Yeah.
Hillary didn't get the support from the Black community that Joe Biden got, and it cost her.
And it wouldn't if she were the nominee, God forbid.
And so, you think she might be a candidate too?
Yeah, I just think, but she wouldn't.
But Gavin Newsom, I really wonder how he would do with that group. That is a very important voter block.
He's trying to plug that hole, though. He's also one of these, just like in New York, Hochul, who might be also contending for another chance to run. Both of them are saying reparations. It's something we need to look at.
Oh, you think that solves it? I don't. I don't think that works.
I mean, no, I don't think so either, but it's all they got. It's like
What about Michelle Obama?
She's not gonna run.
I actually don't think that Michelle Obama would be as popular as people think.
Yeah, but
I've heard a lot of people say that Michelle Obama would be the Trump card, and would just sweep and dominate in the election if she were to run. And I just don't know if that's true.
Well, but Michelle Obama has all the she's considered, according to all the surveys, one of the most popular people in the country. I mean, when it comes down to those listings of who you admire most, she's up there always, either near the top or at the top. Again, that's not a political thing to me, but that's just a cosmetic thing. Mm. But they don't. What do they have? They're desperate. So I don't, put it past them to try something like that. But I just don't believe that Obama wants to be the figurehead in a public way. Mm-hmm. Right now, I believe that Obama is the president of the United States.
Barack, not Michelle.
Barack, because he's the one who's pulling the strings on this puppet.
He's one of the people ringing the alarm bells for Joe Biden, saying, you need to figure something out here.
Also, he's saying things because he doesn't want to come across looking stupid. So when the inevitable, if it does happen, then he can say, well, see, I was trying to tell you that it's anything to kind of make it.
Isn't that nice?
So one more thing, and then we're almost done. The border is the last hope for the progressives and the Democrat Party. Their idea is with the 15 or 20 million people that they've been able to bring in the border and will declare amnesty over, that will become the new voting bloc that will put them back in power if they're going to fall out now, because every last one of them will be beholden to the government for help. And the Republicans don't think like that, and they're going to use that against the party for future elections. If this is lost, they still will have enough people, literally almost two states of people by the time it's all
said
and done.
Yes, it's a lot of people. It's a mind-blowing number of people. The amount of people that are coming across the border under Joe Biden's administration is staggering, and it's a real, real big problem.
And it was intentional.
It's got to be. It's got to be, right? I mean, there's no way, this is an accident.
And so they feel the Democrats have the future still belongs to us, because we are going to change some states that are red, make them purple by spreading folks that will become Democrat voters, and they're looking at the long game, and right now that's all they got, because the short game ain't looking good for them. David, interesting discussion as always, and as always, folks can catch it again.
Yeah, check it out on Spotify, find it on Apple Podcasts, and on Facebook.
And again, and I say this sincerely, it's not over with yet. Don't give up. Keep the faith. David Perry and Cleve Walker, thank you for joining us for another edition of Mere Conservatism.